sermon hymn. I probably should say the reason I'm here today, if you don't already know, is that Pastor Poppy is at Zion in Menominee Falls this morning, celebrating their 75th anniversary with them. So we wish and pray Zion many of God's blessings upon the people of Zion as they celebrate their 75th, and upon Pastor Poppy's message there. I presume he's the preacher there. So we carry on here. The grace, peace, and mercy of our coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest upon you and this day and always. The epistle reading for this day comes to the letter of James, states in verse 8, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Now, patience is a hard thing to accomplish, especially in today's world where we have been treated to getting everything we want immediately. We go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Amazon promises next-day delivery. We can drive up to Walmart and other stores and have our merchandise literally put into our trunks or our back seats when we pull up. So the British rock band Queen summed it up quite well when they sang these lyrics back a few years. "I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now." Now, that being said, we know also that patience is a virtue. Patience as Christians is a virtue that the Holy Spirit helps us strive for. We know some things in life we just have to wait for. The engaged couple has to wait until the wedding day to be called husband and wife, and should wait that long until they have sex. The pregnant wife must wait 9 months until she gets to hold that precious bundle of joy in her arms. And we as Christians must wait until we pass through this veil of tears, until we get to experience the marvelous joys of heaven and being with Jesus Christ personally. So, continuing this Have a Cup of Cheer series that Pastor Poppy started, we're going to hand you this morning a cup of patience, just as Jesus handed that same cup of patience to John the Baptist in prison as he awaited his fate at the hands of King Herod. We now turn to the Gospel of Matthew 11. In our Gospel, we hear that John and Jesus exchanged some correspondence regarding whether Jesus was the one or should John be looking for another one. John's patience was running out a little bit, I would say. That's why Jesus had to give John the cup of patience that he needed to drink. So, if you will indulge me, in preparation for this service, I have this week came into possession of two letters that I would like to share with you. The first one happens to be from John the Baptist, written to his cousin, Jesus of Nazareth. Dear cousin Jesus, I am writing this letter to you from my prison cell in Herod's fortress, where I've been held for many weeks now. I was arrested by Herod's soldiers for preaching against the king's adulterous lifestyle. Some of the guards have told me that if I were to apologize and recant all that I have said and promise never to speak against the king again, I would be pardoned and be set free. But I am not willing to sell my soul to save my flesh. My hope is in the Lord, and I am convinced that when he comes, he will make things, all things right. Even as the prophet Isaiah has promised, he will set the prisoners free. And so, in hope, I wait for the Lord. Besides, what else would I do? I was called to be a prophet of the Lord from birth. How many times did I hear my father, Zechariah, repeat the story that the angel told him why he must name me John, and that I would be a prophet? You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. I went into the wilderness of Judea and began to preach that the long-awaited Messiah was at hand, and called people to repent of their sinful living and to return to live by faith in God. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be thrown into the fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into his barns. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. If you judge my work by the great crowds that have come and listened to me, to my preaching, and become baptized, I was a successful prophet. But now, here I am in prison. And I'm beginning to wonder. I am beginning to wonder what it was really all about, and I'm having some doubts. Doubts about myself, but mostly doubts about whether or not you are the long-promised Messiah. So my question is, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? From the stories I've been told from my mother Elizabeth, I was more sure about you when we were just fetuses in our mother's womb than I am right now. Just a year ago, when you came to the Jordan River where I was preaching to be baptized, I was sure that you were the one. And my confidence soared when I saw the dove that came down out of nowhere and landed on your head. And when I heard the majestic voice in the sky say, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." But I always thought that when the Messiah comes, things would change, that everything would change. I thought that he would come with great power and might and rule with justice and equity for the peoples. I thought that he would overthrow the kings of the earth and the rulers that take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah. I thought that the Messiah would break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But the king continues to rule unjustly and boast about his immorality, and the heathen boast that there is no God and God's people to suffer persecution for their faith. And here I am, rotting away in prison, unjustly. And everything seems to be just as it's always been. I was so sure that when everything was going so well and everything seemed to be blessed by God, but now I'm not so sure. Even though I preach to others, I myself do not see things as clearly as I should. I am ashamed of my doubts, and I long to be rid of them, both so that my witness to others may not be weak, and so that I may be content and at peace even while I am in these chains. So, tell me, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? I am sending this letter to you by two of my trusted disciples. I pray that you would receive them as you were receiving me. Your loving cousin and servant, John. So that was the first letter of the two. Now here comes the second letter. My dear cousin John, I received your letter from your disciples. They tell me that you are doing well under the circumstances and that you are bearing faithful witness to the truth by your imprisonment to the gospel. They tell me that some whom you baptized in the wilderness work in Herod's palace, and they attend to you with service in love as they are able. They also tell me that you continue to bear witness to the truth, even in prison, and that more than a few of Herod's officials and servants have come to faith and have been baptized. My dear John, even though you have been locked up, the kingdom of God is advancing through you because God's word cannot be strained, and your faithful testimony under persecution is a powerful witness. You ask me if I am the coming one, or is there another whom you should expect? I will answer your question in this way. In every generation, there have been false prophets who have claimed to be the promised Messiah. Long ago, when my people were in the wilderness of Sinai, they asked the very same question that you are asking. How may we know the word of the Lord has not spoken? How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? And Moses replied, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not believe him. Ever since Moses, the prophets have spoken in the name of the Lord, promising what the Messiah would do when he comes into the world. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. These would be the signs to look for and would certify that he is the one. If the one who claimed to be the Messiah never did these things, then he is not to be believed. But John, I am doing these things. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Let these things that I am doing be the evidence that I am who I am. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But as you announced in the wilderness, just as you announced in the wilderness, but do not be deceived. My kingdom does not come all at once, as many suppose. It is like a mustard seed that, though it is the smallest of seeds, becomes a great tree, but over time, its branches moving out farther and farther and bearing its fruit year after year. For now, my kingdom is like a field sown with good seed, which also contains many weeds. And the weeds and the wheat grow together. For now, my kingdom is not irresistible, and many will resist it and even threaten the wheat. But do not lose heart. There will come a time of reckoning and judgment when the wheat will be separated from the weeds like a fisherman separates the good fish from the bad. But that will not happen until the last day. And the last day is being delayed until the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, and the lost are found and return, and the elect are gathered into the harvest, so that many may be saved, so my banquet hall may be filled and my Father's joy may be complete. So, do not grow weary or despair that your faithfulness has been rewarded with suffering and persecution. Be patient, for I too will suffer and be imprisoned unjustly. And the governor will permit my death as even as he will permit yours, John. But I will be raised again on the third day, and you will be with me in paradise. And your faith will receive the reward of eternal life. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In the meantime, John, be patient. Remain faithful and believe the word that has been given to you and that you have faithfully preached. You will not see me again until you see me in glory. where everything shall be visible, and you will know fully, even you as you are fully known. Then the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, John, neither let it be afraid. Peace be with you, John. Your cousin, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. A few closing comments. Eavesdropping on Isaiah, we hear him say, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. And again, reading James' letter to the church, he writes, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And finally, in the words of Jesus, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before time and now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We now sing our closing hymn. Good morning once again. It's been a pleasure to be with you this morning. I should